In the studio, I have Jeff Lindsay, who is the forest manager for the Hoopa Valley Tribal Forestry Department. And he recently gave a presentation at the symposium that was presented. His topic was sudden oak death. And that's a big concern for us around here. And so I invited him to come into the studio and let's talk about sudden oak death. Has a lot of knowledge to share. So, Jeff, welcome to Studio 91.
Thank you. I feel like sudden oak death is more of a threat to the community than a benefit. But definitely what we're trying to do in forestry is to combat it, which is a benefit. Sudden oak death is a Phytophthora ramorum pathogen. It's a water mold. It had appeared in California in the late 90s, in 95. They first noticed it in the Santa Cruz Marin area, killing tan oaks and other oaks. And then it began to spread. And there's a number of ways. And most recently, it made it up to Humboldt County and has been in southern Humboldt since about 2000, but at about 2013 or so, it made the leap into Redwood Creek, and that then put it as a potential threat to the reservation.
And you said it's water, it's transmitted through water?
Well, it is a water mold, okay, technically, but it does transmit, one, through water, two, it does spore, and those spores can be airborne. And a lot of the spreading of the sudden oak death is through air sporulation, which is why we've taken on the challenge of, in the areas that we're treating, removing the bay laurels. As I explained, the bay laurels do get infected by sudden oak death, but only on their leaves. And so the leaves, which are very resistant and persistent, so the leaves don't shrivel up and die, but the tree keeps nourishing the leaves. And those leaves then become spore factories. And those spores then blow out into the neighboring tan oaks and just inundate them with spores and overcome their defenses and kill the tan oaks. So the airborne is the primary means of transportation for the sudden oak death. I've had it explained to me that it doesn't take a single spore to infect a tan oak tree. In fact, it takes a massive amount of spores to overwhelm the tan oak's defenses. So by removing these spore sources, we're hoping to reduce the ability of sudden oak death to move onto the reservation.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that puts a bit of a twist on it then, because then you're taking out one species of tree to protect another species of tree.
Correct, and we've had to talk with the cultural committee about this, and because bay laurels or peppercorns or myrtlewood, I mean, it has a whole bunch of different names, has some cultural benefits. And so it's not like we're saying, oh, we're going to remove all the bays on the reservation. We don't intend to do that. We want to keep bays where they're safe. But in the front where we expect the sudden oak death to come towards the reservation, that's the area where we want to remove them so that they aren't, they're not part of the enemy, say, in the advancement of this pathogen.
Okay, so let's take a higher elevated look at this.
And okay.
Where is the sudden oak death approaching the reservation or on the reservation?
Okay, sudden oak death moved up from southern Humboldt, and as I explained, the Ag Department, the UC Berkeley Ag Extension down in Eureka, has been very aggressive at fighting sudden oak death in Humboldt County. And for them, it's been kind of a losing battle because of once it got in and it got established and began to spread, and then they're having to deal with the various landowners, and some of which will accept treatments and some of which won't. Some of the timber companies, which are kind of lackadaisical about it. So they've been fighting this battle in southern Humboldt. They did manage to put in a buffer just south of the Lolita, which they hoped was going to be kind of a stand to keep it from moving north of that. So they treated a mile-wide strip. Okay, and everything was good. Well, the sudden oak death has not advanced far enough north to hit that strip, so we don't really know if it works or not. It tended to move east away from it, which would kind of surprise them. But then one of the things we do in sudden oak death is we do stream monitoring, and we put bay leaves into the water and just let them sit there for a couple weeks, and we pull them out and we see what kind of molds have attached to them. Well, we're not, the hoopoe tribe's not the only one we're doing. We're participating in a large, larger group, and one of those is the national park. And they were testing Redwood Creek, and their bay leaves got infected with sudden oak death. And they went, oh, wait a minute, where's this coming from? So they then, the sudden oak death people, then began placing other testing leaves in all areas in Redwood Creek, and they finally narrowed it down into the little community in Redwood Creek that is in there. And then they started hunting, and they found it. And the tan oaks were dying, and they were, the bays were infected, and they began treatment there. It quickly spread out of the little community into the neighboring, the Stouffer Ranch, and then on the Green Diamond land. Green Diamond, with use of some of the tools that CDF gave them, partly as a result of this, went very aggressive at it. But their method was to kill the tan oaks with a hack and squirt herbicide program. And they were trying to get ahead of the pathogen until they got into a spotted owl no treatment area, and then they couldn't treat the oaks in there. That's on the south side of Redwood Creek. But on the north side of Redwood Creek, as it got up in the Stouffer Ranch and they began aggressively fighting it, it jumped up into the Lax Creek drainage. And the Lax Creek drainage is a tributary to Redwood Creek. It's most of the property is either owned by BLM or Barnum Timber, and I don't know who owns them anymore. But it's on BLM property, and they found it through aerial flights. They looked at, they had some dead trees, and they went in and they tested those trees, and they found out, yes, they've got sudden oak death. But the BLM has determined that where they are at, the ground is very, very steep, and it's too dangerous to work on. And so they've backed off, and they're doing treatments around the ridge to keep it down in the bottom of Lax Creek, and that's their hope. And so we're looking at on the reservation, well, Lax Creek is only 4 miles away from the reservation as the crow flies. And the sudden oak death, if it comes up out of Lax Creek, and it's got a crossover ridge and then Humboldt River, and then it'll probably pop into the Little Pine Creek drainage if it follows normal spread patterns. If the BLM's successful, they can keep it contained. If not, then that's where we're looking at. And so that's why we're starting in the northwest corner of the reservation and working our way south in our treatment under the CAL FIRE grant.
That explains it. A thought come to my mind about, years ago, maybe decades ago, that back east, I'm trying to get this relationship between our laurels and chestnuts. There was this epidemic that happened in the chestnuts, and they just about wiped out all the chestnuts in that eastern part of the United States. And those had more than cultural value. Those had food value for many species, including humans. So I'm just trying to get this relationship between those treatments.
There are a number of pathogens that walk through the forest lands. One of the more tragic ones was the Dutch elm disease, which a lot of the communities back east would plant these beautiful elm trees, and they would be providing shade on the streets and everything. And then the Dutch elm disease came through and just wiped them all out. The chestnut disease is another one. For us, one of the things that we are just as concerned about is the sudden oak death is the Port Arford cedar root rot. It happens to be a Phytophthora as well. It's Phytophthora lateralis. It attacks the root systems of the Port Arford cedars and kills them dead. And we're it's up in Oregon, moved down into California. It's as close as Fish Lake. So far, we haven't got it on the reservation. We want to keep it that way. So there are other things out there in the woods that are threats to some of the cultural values of the reservation. Sudden oak death is kind of a prominent one because of the prominence of tan oaks, one, on the reservation, and two, in the culture, in the providing of acorns and all of the resources that, you know, tan oak mushrooms and everything that are associated with tan oak trees. That's why we are looking at finding ways to make it manageable if it does actually cross the reservation boundaries.
Oh, yeah, the Port Orford Cedar I, up at Fish Lake. I remember the logging trucks had to go to Orleans and wash the tires.
Yes.
Yeah, before they came back.
Sudden Oak Death, it was originally found in parks, in the parklands of Santa Cruz and Marin counties. And it was going into neighborhoods and killing the people's trees in their neighborhoods. And it doesn't just affect tan oaks. It also affects some of the true oaks. And some of these big, beautiful trees that people loved were just suddenly appearing to die because they didn't realize that they'd been infected for a year or two with this kind of silent killer. And then all of a sudden, the tree just up and dies. And there was a lot of really beautiful trees, the oak trees and stuff, that just died, and people didn't have an idea why, and then that's when they started looking. Now, the big thing is, though, in these parks, all the tan oaks start dying, and then you look at the fuel load and the fire potential of those, and that got everybody all excited. And even the timberland companies, even though they like to remove their tan oaks, they don't want to have that kind of fire loading in their commercial forests, or fuel loading in their commercial forests, because if there was a fire that got in there and you have all these dead tan oaks, that makes your fire a whole lot worse.
Tan oak, actually, some cultures and places use them to tan leather, and that's why they call them tan oaks. I'm more interested in what people need to know about this tan oak and the possibility of coming further into the reservation.
One of the things that has been frustrating in the battle against sudden oak death is the fact that it has a very large number of plants that it can attack. Even if it's in large concentration, it can even affect Douglas fir and redwood. It can get into the needles, and it can, especially where there's a lot of spores, they can go and attach to the leaves and kill individual needles and stuff. It doesn't go systemic into any of these like it does in the oaks. But some of the commercial plants, and we've had this problem of sudden oak death getting in the nurseries before the nurseries even knew what it was, and then nursery plants moving or being sold and bringing this with them, and that was part of the spread, is it would go then from people's rural gardens out into the neighboring forest lands. The Redwood Creek infestation, we are pretty confident that it came off of rhododendron bushes that were planted in the Redwood Creek community. Those leaves were infected, and then they hit the neighboring laurels, and then they hit the neighboring tan oaks. We have the Redwood Creek infestation. So when people are buying plants to put in their garden or, to spruce up their property, one of the things to look for is, are any of the leaves wilted or black stained in any way? And if it is, that's probably not a plant you want to bring onto the reservation. We at Forestry are taking a very aggressive stand in trying to manipulate the woods to make it less susceptible to sudden oak death on the edge of the reservation, so that the center of the reservation can go on life as normal. But if somebody brings in infected plants into the center of the reservation, well, then it kind of destroys our whole battle plan. And that's what happened in Redwood Creek. They put this big barrier down in the Lolita area, and somebody brought it over into Redwood Creek. And that was, I'm sure it was unintentional. It's just lack of knowledge. And so one of the things that we encourage is that people buy their plants from a reputable nursery. If you get in them from farmers markets, then there's not the certification, there's not the checks to make sure that there's no pathogens. And there's other pathogens besides sudden oak death that propagate in nurseries. People aren't aware of that. Just like bringing in an invasive plant, sometimes bringing in an invasive pathogen can be very destructive. So make sure when you buy your plants, you get them checked out, or you buy them from a registered nursery, because they're doing checks on their own to make sure that they're clean. And that way you have only healthy plants coming onto the reservation.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. How about potting soils? Is that a problem? Do pathogens transmit that way as well?
Potting soil has not been associated with sudden oak death to the best of my knowledge. It has been with the Port Orford cedar root rot, but again, that's to the north of us. But potting soil has not been, I don't know that it has been looked at either. So that is a concern. We're especially concerned, of course, with the illegal marijuana grows and the way those plants move back and forth. Fortunately, potting soil, and even they look at, originally when sudden oak death first came out, they thought one of the main transportations was mud because it's a water mold. And so people would go out hiking in the woods and they would go from one place to another and they would bring it. And there's really not been, that was the initial thought, but it really hasn't panned out that way. Initial thought was, well, then that means, you know, if you're ever in a sudden oak death area, then you lice all your boots with hit it with some sort of disinfectant to kill anything that's on the boots. And that's still a practice, just as a precaution. But that's not typically the way they find it spread, and they find it more spread aerially. And so potting soil hasn't been determined to be a common vector, if a vector at all.
Okay. That's good to know, too. Is there something else that you need to share with us?
There is a website that's maintained, the Sudden Oak Death website, and you just type in Sudden Oak Death. One of the interesting thing to look at is the list of hosts, because I have the list of hosts here, and it's an 18-page document, and everything from Pacific Yew to Madrone, to Big Leaf Maple, all have some amount of susceptibility to sudden oak death. Most of them are fairly resistant, but if they get into the middle of a patch, they can sport it. The primary one that we find, of course, is the tan oaks, which it kills, but is the bays. The bays are a little bit more susceptible to it on the leaves, but not in the stems. So they seem to be the culprit. And in Humboldt County, especially in southern Humboldt County, they found that the worst infestations were around the bay trees, where all the tan oaks just died. There was typically a bay tree somewhere right in that vicinity. And so that hence why we're taking the precautions we are at forestry.
So how would someone know whether their bay tree was...
Well, if your bay tree gets infected, the tips of the leaves are going to turn black and die back to about a quarter or a third of the leaf. And when you see that, and that, there's other things that'll do that to bays, but when you see that in a bay that you have, take that leaf off, put it in the paper bag, bring it into forestry, we'll send it off to be tested. Even if you have like a rhododendron and you see black, you know, there's a black spot on your leaf, put it in a Ziploc bag, bring it to forestry, we'll send it off and have it tested. We are concerned that it can work around our defenses, and constant vigilance by everybody is always beneficial. And if you have any questions, you know, come into forestry and we'll have somebody answer those. And if you have leaves that you suspect, we have our crews out working and they will go out and they'll see a tree that tan oak that's got black stain on it, and they'll GPS it. We'll go out and we'll look at it. And fortunately, we haven't found anything that resembles sudden oak death, but we always appreciate our crews looking. And it's tribal members, too. When you're out in the woods, if you see a black oak that seems to be weeping black sap out of the bowl, let us know about it and let us know where it is, and we'll go out and look at it.
Those are good symptoms to know.
You can always come into forestry. We have information. The UC Berkeley Extension down in Humboldt, they have a lot of information as well. And we're always glad to be able to talk about the way we manage the forest and what we do to help. We are concerned about keeping the forest available for the cultural uses of the tribe.
And your phone number to get a hold of you?
Our phone number at forestry is 625-4284. And then you can just hit the front desk. I'm not available, or our silviculturist or botanist. We'll get somebody who can answer any questions you have.
Well, thank you much, Jeff.
Well, thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Welcome.